Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
We from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 9, The Passing Away of Bhishma Dev, text number 45. Tatra dundu payo ne dur.
Tatra dundu payo ne dur.
Deva manava vadita.
Deva manava vadita.
Shashamshu sadavo ravyam.
Shashamshu sadavo ravyam.
Petu pushpavrishtaya.
Hapetu pushpavrishtaya.
Tatra dundu bhayo nedur.
Tatra dundu bhayo nedur.
Deva manava vadita.
Deva manava vadita.
Shashamshu sadavo ragyam.
Shashamshu sadavo ragyam.
Hapetu pushpavrishtaya.
Hapetu pushpavrishtaya.
Tatra.
Tatra.
Thereafter.
Thereafter.
Dundubaya.
Dundubaya.
Drums.
Drums.
Neduhu.
Neduhu.
Were sounded.
Were sounded.
Deva.
Deva.
The demigods from other planets.
The demigods from other planets.
Manava.
Manava.
Men from all countries.
Men from all countries.
Vaditaha.
Vaditaha.
Beaten by.
Beaten by.
Shashamshu.
Shashamshu.
Praised.
Praised.
Sadavaha.
Sadavaha.
Honest.
Honest.
Ragyam.
Ragyam.
By the royal order.
By the royal order.
Pat.
Pat.
From the sky.
From the sky.
Petuhu.
Petuhu.
Began to fall.
Began to fall.
Pushpavrishtayaha.
Pushpavrishtayaha.
Showers of flowers.
Showers of flowers.
Good boy. Bhishma Dev was respected both by the human beings and by the demigods.
Here's the translation.
Oh, I didn't read the translation. Sorry. I yawned. So, you know, that's the equivalent of almost falling asleep. Thereafter, both men and demigods sounded drums in honour, and the honest royal order commenced demonstrations of honour and respect. And from the sky fell showers of flowers. Purport. Bhishma Dev was respected both by the human beings and by the demigods. Why? Why was Bhishma Dev respected both by the human beings and the demigods?
He was a Mahajana.
He was a Mahajana, yes. The human beings live on Earth and similar other planets in the Moor and Muvar group of planets. But the demigods live in the Svar or heavenly planets, and all of them knew Bhishma Dev as a great warrior and devotee of the Lord. As a Mahajan, or authority, he was on the level of Brahma, Narada, and Shiva, although he was a human being. Qualification on a par with the great demigods is possible only on attainment of spiritual perfection. Thus, Bhishma Dev was known all over the universes, and during his time, interplanetary travel was affected by finer methods than the futile methods of mechanical spacecraft. What does futile mean? Huh?
Useless.
useless, futile, waste of time. When the distant planets were informed of the passing away of Bhishma Dev, all the inhabitants of the upper planets, as well as of the earth, dropped showers of flowers to show due respect to the departed great personality. This showering of flowers from heaven is a sign of recognition by great demigods, and it should never be compared to the decoration of a dead body. The body of Bhishma Dev lost its material effects due to being surcharged with spiritual realization. And thus the body was spiritualized as when iron becomes red hot when in contact with fire. The body of a fully self-realized soul is not therefore accepted as material. Special ceremonies are observed for such spiritual bodies. So this is not an ordinary funeral for some deceased person. The respect and recognition of Bhishma Dev are never to be imitated by artificial means, as it has become a fashion to observe the so-called Jayanti ceremony for any and every common man. However exalted he may be materially, is an offence of the Lord because Jayanti is reserved for the day when the Lord appears on the earth. Bhishma Dev was unique in his activities, and his passing away to the kingdom of God is also unique. Om Gana Timirandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmaye Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Jena Bhuktale Svayam Rupakada Mahiyam Vidati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Ganim Yatri Patamaham Bande Sri Gurun Dinatarinam. So we know that this event is special right from the beginning of this chapter, because there's a long list of personalities who have come to observe the passing of Bhishma Dev. It was already known amongst the whole universe that Bhishma Dev was about to die. It's already known that because of the list of personalities who were in attendance. Parvata Muni, Narada Muni, Dhumya, the priest of the Pandavas, Bhagavan Badarayanaha. Who's Bhagavan Badarayanaha? Who knows who that is without looking at the book? Vyasadev. Yes, Vyasadev. Who is Vyasadev? Yes, compiler of the Vedas. Veda Vyas means one who divides up the Vedas. Who is an incarnation of Krishna. Brihadasva, Bharadvaja, Ranukasuta. Who's Ranukasuta? Huh? Parashuram. Vasishta, Indra Pramad, Gritsamada, and others. Gautama. And so there's a whole congregation of Asita, Kikshavan, Atri, Muni, Sudarshan, Kaushika. So there's already Sukadev Goswami, Kasyapa Muni, Angiras, all accompanied by their respective disciples. So it's a the passing away of Bhishma Dev is a bit like a Kumbh Mela. Right? And all of the rishis and saints, the thing about the Kumbh Mela is that, well, we don't see the demigods coming, but well, Prabhupada says they don't come. These days the demigods don't visit the earth planet. But we can see at this time, when, you know, at the end of the battle of Kurukshetra, then the great sages and saintly persons and the demigods were all aware of what was about to take place and were there to honour and respect the personality of Bhishma Dev. Yeah. Bhishma Dev was respected both by the human beings and by the demigods. Why? What's the main reason? Why are they all there? Why are they all there?
Because Krishna's there.
Maybe. No, that's not the answer I'm looking for.
He's an exalted
personality. Yes, he's an exalted personality. Yeah, he's about to die. And what's happening in his departure? Yeah, but he's going back home, back to Godhead. So that's the pinnacle of all achievement. He's leaving the material world and he's not coming back again. Which is the purpose of existence in the material world. The purpose of material existence is to stop material existence. Right? Not to continue it. And Bhishma Dev as a Mahajan understands the science of leaving behind the material world, leaving it, and he's an expert, a professor, if you like, of this science. The science of self-realization is understood and taught by Bhishma Dev, and so it's a special occasion when such a personality departs, because it's not just, it's not the material, it's not an ordinary death, as is mentioned here. Not everybody achieves this final destination after leaving the body. This is the advantage of the human form of life. You know, in the animal species, what happens? You get an opportunity to further your self-realization? No. You just live like an animal and are bound up by the laws of karma. So very little opportunity for making spiritual progress. As a demigod, one enjoys such wonderful facilities that it's easy. Well, it's also rare for the demigods to go back home, back to Godhead, unless they're very, very elevated personalities. But very often the denizens of the heavenly planets are absorbed in just enjoying the facilities. It's so nice and comfortable that self-realization is not considered an urgent need. And even in the human form of life, the human form of life affords us a wonderful opportunity to make spiritual progress, but not everybody takes advantage of it. They also become bewildered by the opportunities for enjoyment, even though in the human form of life there's so much struggle. Still, people misuse the human form and utilize it for pursuing sense gratification. But as Prabhupada points out, that's a waste. That's a real waste of a golden opportunity. That makes the human beings, basically, if we utilize the human form of life simply to pursue sense gratification, which is what the animals do, then our destination is again back to being an animal. Ahara nidra bhaya maitunam cha. Fearing, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. These are the four activities of the animals. And if the human beings just concentrate on simply eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, which is what most people do, then what's the difference between them and an animal? What's the difference? Can anybody say what is the difference?
What if somebody gets prasadam from Mahaprabhu Mandir in their life? They can have a human body at least.
Yeah, but then they may still behave like an animal. So what's the difference between the human beings and the animals? When the human beings are behaving like animals, what's the difference? No difference. That's right. No difference. Dvipada pashu. Two-legged animals. That's all. So here we've got Bhishma Dev, who's a human being, and he's a Mahajan, and he's demonstrating the real purpose of the human form of life. He's teaching the purpose of the human form of life, that one should always engage in devotional service. That's a real opportunity that one is afforded if one comes to the human form. And if one's very fortunate in the human form of life, then one comes in contact with personalities like Bhishma Dev. Ramanda Bhumite Kona Bhagyavana Jeev Guru Krishna Prasad Poi Bhakti Lata Bij. Prabhupada quote this verse very often from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The living entity is wandering throughout the material universe, sometimes in the heavenly planet, sometimes in the animal species, sometimes in the hellish planet, sometimes as a human being, round and around like a Ferris wheel going around. Sometimes we're on the top, sometimes we're down the bottom. And if one's fortunate, it's considered fortunate to get the human form of life. That's considered to be a great boon. But if one doesn't take advantage of that good fortune, then it's considered to be a great misfortune. But the good fortune is to come in contact with the devotees, personalities like Bhishma Dev. Those who know the science, Guru Krishna Prasad Poi, Bhakti Lata Bij. One gets the seed of devotional service by associating, by Krishna's mercy, one gets the opportunity to associate with the devotees. And one of the characteristics of the devotees is that they, like Bhishma Dev, they act as messengers of Krishna. They distribute the knowledge of Krishna. They distribute the knowledge of devotional service, which has the benefit of cutting off material life by engaging in devotional service. You know, not that we stop action, but we stop material action and we start spiritual action. Not that we get rid of activity, but we change the quality of our activity. And that's the advantage of associating with a person like Bhishma Dev, because he teaches how to transform one's activities from animal life, basically, to spiritual life. And how, by engaging in spiritual activities, one transforms one's consciousness from material to spiritual, one's actions from material to spiritual. And as a result of that purification, then one becomes very, very elevated. One starts to exhibit these transcendental qualities. We see, you know, we were discussing this week at Krishna Fest. Krishna has 64 qualities. Right? It's a long list. Rupa Goswami has analysed all of the characteristics, activities of Krishna from the Shastra. And by analysing all of those, he's compiled a list, 64 items. There are 50 that are shared in part with the living entities. We have them in a minuscule, minute quantity. There are 55 qualities that are shared between the Vishnu forms. They're fully manifest in the Vishnu forms, but they're partially manifest in the demigods. And in the very, very advanced demigods, fully manifest for those who are purified. And we see here that Bhishma Dev is a very, very special living entity in that he has these same qualities as the demigods, which are ordinarily not accessible to the ordinary jivas like us. Then we see there's a manifestation of the 60 qualities in the personality of Narayan, the Lord of Vaikuntha. And then we find, and so that those qualities are shared with Krishna. And then Krishna has 4 qualities that separates him from everybody else. He has wonderful pastimes. He has love. He is surrounded by loving associates. He's very beautiful and attractive, and he plays his flute. He wilders the minds of everybody by the power of his flute playing. So Bhishma Dev is such an exalted personality, and Prabhupada says here that qualification on a par with the great demigods is possible only on attainment of spiritual perfection. So as one becomes purified, as one makes spiritual progress, then what happens is that more and more of these spiritual qualifications start to manifest in one's personality, in one's character. If spiritual qualifications are not manifesting themselves, then what does that mean? Anybody like to say?
Not doing your experiment right.
Not doing your experiment right. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, if you're in the laboratory and you end up with the wrong result, then it means you're not applying all of the chemicals and mixing them together and cooking them for the right amount of time. You know, Prabhupada, good example. Prabhupada says that devotional service is much like an experiment. You know, if you go into the laboratory, you add a certain amount of a chemical A to a certain amount of chemical B, mix it together and heat it for a certain amount of time, then you'll end up with chemical C. And you can keep doing it. Right? Consistently, you keep doing it, you get the same result. Same with following the process of devotional service. If we follow the process of devotional service properly, then will develop spiritual qualifications. They'll automatically manifest in a devotee. And if they're not manifesting, then that means what? What does it mean if we're not manifesting spiritual qualities? You're doing something wrong, yeah. This is why personalities like Bhishma Dev, you know, it is a wonderful thing that he's going back home, back to Godhead, but it is also a loss, because such personalities can help us work out, what am I doing wrong? Huh? What am I doing wrong? Why aren't I making spiritual advancement? And, you know, when one is advanced, then one becomes famous. Right? Not that we want to become famous. But one will become famous if one's a great devotee. That's not the purpose of existence is not to become famous. The purpose of existence is to become a great devotee. But one of the qualifications of a great devotee is humility. Right? So a great devotee usually doesn't think of himself as a great devotee. Lord Chaitanya, who was obviously a great devotee, always presented himself very humbly. I'm not a devotee, and his friends and associates would say, you're a great devotee. Whenever you chant the holy names, and tears. What's that? Somebody's GPS? Lost. The GPS has lost its owner. Lord Chaitanya, when he would chant Hare Krishna, then, as Bhaktisar mentioned the other day, he didn't just cry, but torrents of tears came from his eyes. Like floods. And so his associates would say, whenever you chant, then you're drowning us all. So you must be a great devotee. Lord Chaitanya said, no, if I was a great devotee, then I would have left my body by now in separation from Krishna. So he's very humble. So one of the qualifications of greatness in a devotee is also they're very humble. So Vishnu Deva is feeling very humble. As a result of all of these great personalities coming to visit him on his bed of arrows, he couldn't even get up and welcome them. But it describes how he was welcoming them mentally and with his greetings. And his greatness is echoed, I guess, reflected here. Interesting, Prabhupada makes this point here. Thus Bhishma Dev was known all over the universes, and during his time, interplanetary travel was affected by finer methods than the futile endeavours of mechanical spacecraft. So Prabhupada often exposed the waste of money that was being perpetrated as space exploration. Waste of time. When in previous ages, and certainly at the time of Bhishma Dev, we see all of these personalities visiting Earth and being able to travel as a result of their mystic cities. Difficult for us to appreciate. how one can travel from planet to planet. We think, well, I can't do that, so nobody can do it. Right? But the demigods were present, or they were informed of the passing of Bhishmadev, and so then as a consequence they offered their respects and obeisances and showered flowers on the departure of Bhishmadev from this world. A recognition of his great devotion. And it's very interesting how detached Bhishmadev was to his situation. What an example of devotional service he was. You know, in one sense, he had been killed because he had the choice of departing, leaving his body when he chose. But at the same time, he was he was arrested, right, as a result of being an enemy of the Pandavas. He was on the opposing army. Right? He was on the opposite side of Krishna. Yet, still he's recognized as one of the greatest devotees, which is quite extraordinary when you think about it. Incredibly extraordinary. Here he was performing devotional service as an enemy of Krishna. In fact, he's glorified for it. Could you imagine if you had to be an enemy of Krishna and that's your devotional service? Very puzzling, bewildering. But how detached he was. A devotee has to be detached. You know, there are going to be setbacks in life. In fact, you know, death, in one sense, is the ultimate setback. We're always looking to make, you know, some sort of progress, at least materially. And when you come to the phase of death, then that's the end of everything. Everything is finished. So one has to be detached at that point in proceedings. One has to maintain one's devotional service, one's enthusiasm for devotional service, despite of difficulties, despite any setbacks. So, you know, Bhishmadev is showing this example of detachment. And as Prabhupada points out here, this perfection has come about as a result of his performance of devotional service. Here, the body of Bhishmadev lost its material effects due to being surcharged with spiritual realization. It's not a material body. It appears to be, but it is not. Why isn't it a spiritual body? It's a material body. Because it's been engaged in devotional service. And Prabhupada gives this example that he often gave. You can take an iron bar, which is just dull matter, and you can stick it in a fire and heat it up and heat it up and heat it up. So eventually it becomes red hot. And then, even though it's still iron, and so therefore material or matter, you can touch the red hot bar and it burns like fire. Even though it's not fire, it still burns like fire. So it takes on the qualities, it's iron, but it takes on the qualities of fire. So similarly also, our material bodies, when engaged in devotional service, when engaged in spiritual activities, loses its material effects, like Prabhupada says here, and becomes surcharged with spiritual energy. This is why engagement in devotional service is so important. Following in the line of the acharyas, following in the footsteps of personalities like Bhishma Dev. And thus, the body becomes spiritualized. As when iron becomes red hot when in contact with fire. Yeah. So here, the body of a fully self-realized soul is not, therefore, accepted as material. Special ceremonies are observed for such spiritual bodies. So when a great personality like Bhishma Dev, you know, for a person who's it is acknowledged has engaged fully in devotional service throughout their life, then their body is not cremated, but rather is put into samadhi. And then in samadhi is worshipped. Because right? No material form anymore. It appears to be material, even appears to be made of material elements, but those material elements all have as their origin a spiritual source. Everything has a spiritual source. What did Krishna say? Aham prabhasya, aham sabhasya prabhavo, matasavam prabhatate iti matva bhajante man buddha bhava samanvitaha. Everything comes from me, Krishna says. So when everything is engaged in the service of the source, then even though it appears to be material energy, actually it is not. It becomes transformed. So, you know, the departure of Vishnu Dev is not an ordinary death of a mundane person. But rather, the form of such a person is worshipable. And therefore, that's why it's not cremated for purification. It doesn't need purification anymore. It's fully purified by total engagement in devotional service. The material energy, when engaged in devotional service, ceases to be material. It becomes spiritual. And then, you know, that energy which would ordinarily be binding becomes a vehicle for liberation. That's why the human form of life is so important. It can be used for material purposes. Used for material purposes keeps us in the material world. Material energy used for spiritual purposes becomes spiritualized. And so therefore, for that person who uses the material form for spiritual purposes, they don't have to take birth again in the material world. And so therefore, for such persons, great honor and respect is afforded to them by dint of the fact that they've been fully engaged in devotional service. Therefore, the demigods are coming, showering flowers and offering prayers, beating drums, dundubayo. Actually, beating of drums. And you can imagine, if there's beating of drums, what does that mean?
Celebration.
Huh?
Celebration.
Yeah, it means celebration. What else? What does a beating of drums mean to us? Huh? Kirtan. Yes, yeah, Sankirtan. Sankirtan party. Then Prabhupada makes this very interesting point at the end. The respect and recognition of Vishnu Dev is never to be imitated. Then he talks about this use of the word Jayanti. And he mentions, really, Jayanti is only to be used for Krishna. Krishna Jayanti. Shouldn't be used for anybody else, you know, mundane birthday party. And they call it Jayanti. What is the celebration of the birth of somebody who's just come back to the material world again? Right? For no spiritual purpose. And we have a party. Oh, joy. You've come back for some more suffering. Right? should be, you're a fool, what are you doing here? Right? We think, well, actually, as you get older, you think birthday party, oh no, not another one. Right? When you're young, you think, oh, when's my birthday coming? Special occasion. But actually, birthday party is an embarrassment for the materialist. Birth, death, old age, disease. That's embarrassing. Yeah. Bhishma Dev was unique in his activities, and his passing away to the kingdom of God is also unique. So does anyone have any comments or questions on any of these points? Yes, Prabhu.
Question. Thank you for a very good picture. Bhishma Dev had so much of pain in his body, you know, and he was lying on arrows and all.
Yeah.
So how do we, you know, when we are in too much pain, or, you know, because of the old age, we have pain or disease or something.
Yeah.
How do we have the fixation on Krishna consciousness?
Practice when you're healthy. And, you know, if you've got some pain, take a Panadol. Be practical. And if you're dying, that's one of the, you know, King Kulasekara prays Krishna Tadiya Pada Pankaja Panjaram Tam Adyaiva Me Manasa, what is it? Manasa Raja Hamsa Adyaiva Me. I can't remember all of it, but you know, he prays that let me die now when I'm a young man and I can think of you. I can wrap the my swan-like mind around your lotus feet. Because when I die, my body will be painful, racked with pain, and my voice will choke up. My mind will be disturbed. So he prays, let me die now while I'm young so that I can remember you. So, you know, the it is said, that I think there's Prabhupada quote, you know, there's a Bengali saying, everything you do in life is tested at death. So best to practice now while we're healthy. Then, when we've, I think they already took them redundant. Oh, okay. What about the Sunday feast? It's okay. It's all right. It's okay. You can take it. Just don't anybody else take this one. Got a program to go to, then they pinch all the instruments from the temple. Yes, practice. Anything else?
Would you like to tell us something about
Gopal Bhatt Goswami? Gopal Bhatt. No, not really, because I haven't. Not that I can remember. I would have had to done some homework to talk about Gopal Bhatt Goswami. He's one of the six Goswamis. From South India. No.
You want to say
something? I want you to say something? How long will you talk for? Let's wait till somebody else might have a question. Anybody else got any question on what we were discussing? Straightforward. Okay, Gopal Bhatt Goswami.
Gopal, as you know, Parma Goswami is one of the six Goswamis, Ketan Mahaprabhu Lila, and he's son of Venkat Bhatt.
Venkat Bhatt, yep, that's right.
Who is the chief person in the Ramayana temple in the south, one of the biggest temples in India. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited South India, He stayed for 3 months in Chaitanya, 4 months in Chaitanya Sirpur, in Venkatapur's house.
Yeah.
And Mahaprabhu was very happy to see the worship which Venkatapur was doing, but it was Ashwinayan worship. And Mahaprabhu was very pleased with the worship, but he said it's something better than that. And that is Dasa Krishna worship. And in 4 months while he stayed, he convinced Venkatapur and everybody that yes, Radha Krishna is the best. Because Venkatapur came to know that it is Krishna himself. Okay.
How did he do that?
Yeah. And it so happened when Gopal Bhatt at that time was 7 years old only. But he had the chance of serving Mahaprabhu for nearly 4 months.
Yeah.
And he was so intimately associated with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu there. When he was about to leave, he bitterly cried. And he cried so pitifully that Mahaprabhu had to stop a few more days to convince him. This was extraordinary mercy for Mahaprabhu to Prabhupada. Then Prabhupada Goswami, he got a dream also later on that you have to serve your parents till they are alive in this world, and when they are they leave, then you can come to Vrindavan and serve the two Goswami, Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami. So he made this mission of his life to serve Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami.
And he would have been a great scholar, brought up in that tradition. That means
Then when he went, very nice. When he went to Vrindavan after the demise of his parents, then he served the two Goswamis so nicely. Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, they were very pleased, and he had the ambition of going to Gandaki River to get some ghee for him. So he went there and he collected, I think, 7 ghees.
Shilas.
7 stones. And he went all the way walking from Vrindavan to Kathmandu. And from there he went to Gandaki River, and there he found those. And he brought them back again, walking back to Vrindavan. You see how difficult was the terrain and how long was the distance. He didn't even use bullet cart or anything. He just went walking and came back. And he was doing the worship of these 7 deities. He was always carrying his neck in his bag. Now, his worship was so good, he became so famous because he was telling all the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu while he was there in Sri Rangam. And therefore, people were very happy with his teaching and his work and his service to Goswami Sanatana Goswami. Then, one day, one merchant was very pleased with the service which Gopal Bhatt was giving. So he gave a lot of jewelry, ornaments, gold, and dresses, nice silken dresses, and everything. So, he accepted in humility, but then he realized that his deities are so small that there is no head, there is no neck, no arms, no legs. So how are you going to use these things in the service of his deities? So he got a bit frustrated and he said, I don't deserve these deities. So he came back again to Kathmandu, Nepal, and tried to immerse his deities in Gandaki River. But they were all falling back in his bag. They did not want to leave him. So he was very much here.
What temple did he establish?
Sorry?
What temple did he establish?
Radharama temple, later on.
Later on. So how did Radharaman manifest the Gopal Bhatta?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to tell. So, when he returned back, and he was in the peace, because of the service, one night, when you were thinking about the frustration, how to use these things with multi-energy. So the deity transformed into 12 inches form of Krishna, and Radharaman, there's a deity now present in the temple. And then that money was used to construct the very big temple. And Radharani is like a silver, small silver.
That's right. That's got all about it.
Still Radharaman temple, they are doing such a wonderful worship. His families and families are
I don't think they were his family. They were his disciples.
His disciples and his family were disciples. I met him the last time when I was in Dhamma.
Yeah.
And they were telling me all these stories, how nicely Gopal Krishna was.
Yeah. And I think Prabhupada said the devotees could see the worship of Radha Ramana.
Yeah.
That's how we could worship the deities in his God.
And he's got Gul Nandini in his future world, that is his original form.
Mm. Good.
Thank you.
Very good, thank you. Okay, Kondaraj Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.